Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, 6 to 7, the future king. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They lived in a land of shadows, but now light is shining on them. A child is born to us, a son is given to us, and he will be our ruler. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. This royal power will continue to grow. His kingdom will always be at peace. He will rule as King David's successor, basing his power on right and justice from now until the end of time. The Lord Almighty is determined to do all this.
Thank you.
The reading is taken from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Birth of Jesus is announced. God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a young woman promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. Her name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message, and she wondered what his words meant. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him king, as his ancestor David was, and he will be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "I'm a virgin. How then can this be?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and God's power will rest upon you. For this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. Remember your relative Elizabeth. It is said that she cannot have children, and she herself is now 6 months pregnant, even though she is very old. For there is nothing that God cannot do." "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." And the angel left her.
Our next reading is from Matthew 1.
Matthew tells of the birth of Jesus Christ. This was how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph. But before they were married, she found out that she was going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was a man who always did what was right, but he did not want to disgrace Mary publicly. So he made plans to break the engagement privately. While he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this happened in order to make come true what the Lord had said through the prophet. "A virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel," which means "God is with us." So when Joseph woke up, he married Mary, as the angel of the Lord had told him to do, but he had no sexual relations with her before she gave birth to her son. And Joseph named him Jesus.
Luke 2, 1-7, the birth of Jesus. At that time, Emperor Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the Roman Empire. When the first census took place, Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Abiram then went to Radisha himself, each to his own hometown. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the birthplace of King David. Joseph went there because he was a descendant of David. He went to Radisha with Mary, who promised in marriage to him. She was pregnant, and while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have her baby. She gave birth to a first son, wrapped him in cloths, and laid him in the manger. There was no room for him to stay in the inn.
Thank you.
Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20, the shepherds and the angels. There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields, taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid, but the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town, your Saviour was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angel, singing praises to God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in the manger. When the shepherds saw him, they told him what the angel had said about the child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. Mary remembered these things and thought deeply about them. Shepherds went back, singing praises to God for all that they heard and seen. It was just as the Lord and the angel had told them.
A reading from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea, during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem, in Judea," they answered, "for this is what the prophet wrote. Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah, for out of you will come a leader who will guide my people Israel." So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know, so that I too may go and worship him." And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were! What joy was theirs! It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod.
Well, I would like to thank everyone for reading this morning, especially as my voice probably hasn't got too much mileage in it today. So thank you all for reading. And I'm also very grateful that it's not snowing this week, because that would have made my journey here much more challenging, shall we say. So the big day is just over a week away, and I wonder if you've got in mind presents you would like to receive, or perhaps presents you're giving that you know somebody's going to really appreciate. One present I usually enjoy receiving is a book, or two, or three, or more. And I particularly like reading about people's lives, autobiographies or biographies. And they might be quite diverse, anything from Brother Andrew, who started the charity Open Doors, taking Bibles into lands where Christianity is outlawed or it's very difficult to get hold of Bibles, to the actor David Jason or someone like that. Very diverse, my reading. Other people's lives can be fascinating, sometimes funny, sometimes inspiring, engrossing, all kinds of things. And in the Bible, we find not one, but four biographies about Jesus and his life, as you'll probably be familiar with those, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew and John wrote two of them, and they were Jesus' disciples. They knew Jesus personally. They hung around with him. They watched his miracles. They heard his teaching. They were his friends. Mark, an early Christian author, wrote another, and Luke, a doctor, wrote another biography of Jesus many years later. He also wrote the book of Acts. Jesus' disciple Peter wrote two letters, and in one of them he says, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Mary and Joseph, Jesus' parents, would go on to have other children. And two of Jesus' brothers also wrote letters which are in the Bible, and they are by James and Jude. So when we read about Jesus' life and his teaching, we're reading books written by people who knew Jesus, who talked to him, who listened to him, who knew him day to day, as well as books by people who interviewed eyewitnesses. And just as we can find a lot out about people's lives, famous celebrities who we wouldn't meet, so we can get to know Jesus not only through prayer and the community of the church, but by reading what his family and his friends wrote about him. Jesus' life was interesting and miraculous, from even before his birth, with much preparation going on beforehand. A quote about Jesus' birth says this: "God couldn't have made himself any bigger to impress us, so he made himself smaller to attract us." If you've ever been delayed at an airport, had a very rough ferry crossing, or broken down in the middle of nowhere, perhaps with no mobile phone signal, or perhaps not even a mobile phone, or even been stuck in a very long traffic jam, you'll know what a long and horrendous journey is like. Imagine then arriving at your destination and there's nowhere to stay. It might make us think of the thousands of people who have left their homes and their livelihoods from around, from various countries to escape war and destruction and terrorism, just to travel thousands of miles to what they hope will be safety, and ending up perhaps on the shores of the Greek islands or in Italy or in Calais in other places. So when we think about these things, we perhaps have a hint of what Mary and Joseph's traveling to Bethlehem would have been like. It was 70 miles by foot and donkey, it's thought, and Mary ready to give birth quite soon. Now, I work with a couple of ladies who are due to give birth in the next month or so, and they're not enjoying the tube journey in central London at all. So that's quite mild in comparison with travelling 70 miles by foot and by donkey and on rough roads. We're not talking nice, smooth, paved roads, so very difficult. Mary, it seems, was quite a tough young woman. So God sent Jesus, his son, into the world to show us what he is like. But in order to live amongst ordinary people, Jesus had to be born in very humble circumstances. No nice hotel or hospital to stay in. The place they stayed in was quite dirty and smelly, and not quite as pleasant as these stable scenes we might have in our churches today. It's just as well that among their first visitors were shepherds who were used to dirty, smelly, noisy animals. And Jesus' birth wasn't announced in a fancy newspaper. No photos on Facebook, not even a phone call. But God sent a messenger to some shepherds out in a field. Jewish people at that time, who only had the Old Testament part of the Bible, were expecting a Messiah, a saviour, a leader sent from God. But perhaps some people imagined a royal birth, something very grand and glorious, not a baby born in a stable. But it shows how God used and still uses humble surroundings, unexpected people, and surprising events to tell the world about him and show us his love. And so Jesus received gifts after his birth, which probably seem unusual. But just as though the priests and teachers of that time were expecting someone great to be born, so were the wise men. There were prophecies which talked about the kind of person Jesus would be, his purpose, his life and death. So the gifts were brought in accordance with these prophecies. Gold was a gift fit for a king. Jesus would be a leader, and later referred to as the King of the Jews. Incense was a gift for a deity, a god, someone of divine nature. And myrrh was a spice used to prepare someone who had died for burial. Jesus would, as a man, be crucified for our sins. These were very expensive gifts to be brought to a baby born in such humble surroundings. But the wise men knew how important Jesus was, and so brought gifts that were fit for him. Today, many people have forgotten what the core message of Christmas is really about. I don't doubt now that Enfield Town is packed with people with great big bags full of stuff or desperately running around trying to find those elusive presents and trying to think what people would like. For some, it's about dressing up and parties and going out. For others, it's about having a perfectly coordinated Christmas tree or the best Christmas jumper. For others, it's about seeing family and friends or missing people who aren't there. But perhaps we can think about Mary and Joseph and about Jesus born far from their home. But whatever is going on, the heart of the message is that God sent Jesus into the world to show us how much he loves us, wants to be with us, and wants us to know him. So as we celebrate next week, let's not lose sight of the reason for the season. And as we pray in our various services, let's think of those for who Christmas can be a difficult time.